From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, strong support for Israel, but unexpected support for Hamas, the importance of standing with Israel, and the ongoing speaker's race. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. With a ground war in Gaza imminent and the president making a trip to Israel to show our support for the country, many have been shocked by the amount of vocal support shown for Hamas. On Thursday's edition of Washington Watch Live, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins invited Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson to share his thoughts. Here's Senator Ron Johnson with his reaction to the president's support of Israel.
Well, first of all, I do appreciate the Biden administration's pretty much unequivocal support for the state of Israel after they've been attacked. It was a barbaric slaughter. I mean, there's no other way of laying that out. And what the civilized world has to do is we have to rally behind Israel and defend its right to defend itself and also hopefully destroy Hamas. I think most Americans want to support Israel. I mean, it's shocking. It's actually astonishing to see what's happening in our university system. I think the way the news media handled the self-bombing from Hamas of the hospital in Gaza was absolutely disgusting. What the mainstream media, the way they glommed onto that and blamed Israel right away. So, again, the main thing the U.S. has to do right now is show unwavering support for Israel's right to defend itself. And we deliver billions of dollars every year in terms of defensive support for Israel. I don't think there's a real emergency right now. There are certainly certain weapons, missiles for their Iron Dome, that type of thing that we should certainly be delivering to them. But I don't think there's any huge emergency in terms of providing billions and billions and billions of dollars to Israel right now.
Are we funding both sides? I mean, you've made before this war broke out in Israel, you were raising concerns about the $6 billion that had been frozen, but the Biden administration unfroze, releasing it to Iran. Now, I know they haven't tapped into that yet, but they know it's coming.
The Obama administration and the Biden administration, you know, first Obama with the Iran nuclear agreement really transferred over $100 billion to the largest state sponsor of terror, Iran. Where do you think they spent that money? Not for the benefit of the Iranian people. The Biden administration, I think, quietly has also transferred through, again, relaxation of sanctions or allowing Iran to sell oil, also billions of dollars to Iran. Where do you think they're spending that money? So I think it's absolutely true that Democrat administrations have helped fund this level of terrorism. I think it's indisputable. And they need to be held accountable for what they've done.
So, Senator Johnson, help me understand, why do you think this administration and the Obama administration, they've had such a blind spot when it comes to Iran?
I can't explain it. Again, they're trying to buy peace. You don't buy peace. As Reagan said, I heard him quote you earlier, you achieve peace through strength. Everything the Biden administration has done, I mean, I've said this in the past, if you were asked to develop or devise a strategy to destroy America, to weaken this country, you could not come up with a better game plan than what President Biden has been implementing. Wide open borders, flood of illegal immigrants, deadly drugs, the embarrassing and dangerous surrender in Afghanistan, which emboldened Putin, emboldens Xi, emboldens Iran and Hamas, 40-year high inflation, a war on fossil fuel, which contributes to that inflation. I mean, everything that the Biden administration has done, and quite honestly, what radical leftism does around the world is destroy things. I mean, name something that radical leftism has ever built. It just destroys. And yet, unfortunately, because our university are chock full of radical leftists, our news media is, you know, Americans just are not aware of the extent that radical leftism has infiltrated every institution of this country and is literally causing America to be circling the drain here. We've got to wake up fast.
You know, I'm still thinking. I can't come up with anything that they've built. You're right. They've hijacked a lot of stuff, and they've tanked it, destroyed it. But I can't think of anything they've built. Maybe propaganda machines, but that's probably about it. You serve on the Homeland Security Committee in the Senate, and you just made reference to the southern border. given what we saw in Israel, what we're seeing, the global instability, and we see the volume of people coming across our nation, is there growing concern on Capitol Hill about national security and what this open border presents to us?
Well, there has been on the Republican side ever since the Biden administration opened our borders. Unfortunately, we have not had support from Democrats. So, you know, I've had three amendments, two in committee, one on the floor, to just complete the fence that we already bought and paid for that's costing us more not to build than to build it. And every Democrat, I think, except for Joe Manchin, voted against building that wall. So we have not had partners to actually secure our border. Now you have Christopher Wray saying, this may be a threat. Biden might actually be admitting it as well. No kidding. 1.7 million known gotaways. Now, we don't know who they are. We just know that 1.7 million people cross the border illegally and are now in this country. You think there might be a terrorist or two in that 1.7 million people? Over 150 nations have been represented by people coming to this country illegally. We've got hundreds of people on the terror watch list. This has been and is an enormous national security threat. And yet, old Secretary of Homeland Security Mayorkas says, well, it's not really a crisis. It's not a problem. It's a challenge. But it's a challenge that they think they are rising to by spending more money efficiently processing and dispersing people that they do encounter. Don't even call it apprehensions anymore. It's just encounter, process, and disperse. Total of, with the known gotaways, about 6 million people. That's a problem.
Senator, I think it's very significant in that the policies of the administration, if, you know, you turn yourself in, they just give you a sheet of paper and give you a court date maybe 6-8 months later, and they let you go into the country. It's important because that 1.7 million gotaways, these are people who are evading detection because they had something to hide, many of them. So I think 1.7 million, that's a lot of bad people potentially in that number that could do grave damage to this country. As you move forward in negotiations in this, and I know you're in the minority in the Senate, but as you move forward in negotiations for Ukraine funding, Israel funding, is there going to be strong negotiations from the Republicans as it pertains to our southern border?
You know, we've got a number of senators working on this. And, you know, my advice to the group that's working on this is do not negotiate border security away. We can't have half measures. You know, the House passed H.R. 2, which is a strong border security bill. That's pretty much the minimum. We need to raise the standard from credible fear to pretty much what the asylum standard is, because most of the people coming here aren't even claiming asylum, but all they have to say is, well, I'm afraid to go home. Well, come on in. I don't even think they have to say that anymore. We have such an open border, which is just an invitation for more, which is why we've gone from what Jay Johnson said, 1,000 a day in 2014, where he said that was a really bad day for CBP, to over 10,000. Wow. An order of magnitude worse. And again, we have a president and secretary of Homeland Security that won't even acknowledge it's a problem. It's just a challenge.
Senator, I want to thank you for taking time to join us today. And obviously, this is something, as we see what's unfolding in the Middle East, what we saw happening in Israel, I think more and more Americans are going to demand something on our southern border. Appreciate you being on top of the issue.
Stay well.
You can find out more about Ron Johnson when you visit TonyPerkins.com. And make sure you check out the links to this weekend's Evening to Stand With and Pray For Israel, happening Sunday night. Join us in person in South Carolina or online. Everything you need to know is at TonyPerkins.com.
Reading Scripture consistently and in a meaningful way can sometimes prove to be difficult. Many don't know where to begin or struggle to understand how to apply the passages they read to daily life. Scripture is our daily spiritual bread. And just as we eat every day for the nourishment of our body, we ought to spend time with God in His Word for the nourishment of our mind and soul. Reading the Bible daily helps us to better understand and grow closer to the Father. It also prepares and equips us to do good work for God's kingdom. That's why Family Research Council offers the Stand on the Word Bible Reading Plan. It's a 2-year plan that will help you read Scripture daily so you can better know God's truth, walk through our culture from a biblical worldview, and love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Sign up to get the daily passages and questions today by visiting frc.org/Bible. Now more than ever, Christians need to be prepared to articulate the truth of God's Word to our culture in an informed and loving manner. That is why Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview exists. By applying the Bible and the historical teachings of the Church to a wide range of relevant issues, including voting, religious liberty, abortion, marriage, sexuality, and more, the experts at the center have provided resources to help Christians live by a biblical worldview, to understand why Scripture must be authoritative, and to equip believers to advance and defend the faith in the workplace, in schools, in their communities, and in the public square. Access free resources like the Biblical Worldview series at frc.org/worldview. To get highlights of the latest work of the Worldview Fellows, including their latest blogs, op-eds, interviews, and more, sign up for the Center for Biblical Worldview's newsletter at frc.org/subscriptions.
We live in a culture that has lost sight of what is true. Many, including Christians, are searching for answers to life's most important questions. With this in mind, Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview has partnered with Summit Ministries to present Now We Live, a free 6-episode video series designed to encourage worldview discussions central to the Christian faith. Each episode offers practical instruction led by leading Christian thinkers. Access to this series at frc.org/worldview.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Even with an overwhelming majority of Americans voicing their support for Israel as they face a protracted war with Hamas in the Gaza Strip, as well as threats from Hezbollah in the north, there have been well-publicized anti-Israel protests as well. Joining Tony Perkins on Thursday to discuss the importance of standing firm with Israel was former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, who served on the House Intelligence Committee during her time in Congress. She is now the Dean of the Regent University School of Government and the Chair of FRC's Board of Directors. Here's Tony Perkins.
Michelle, welcome back to the program.
Tony, thank you so much. A privilege to be with you.
I want to play a clip from yesterday. I was up on Capitol Hill yesterday. I missed this protest. I was actually in congressional building in which this took place yesterday afternoon. But the pro-Palestinians came in, a pro-Palestinian rally, and Michigan Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib had this to say. Play clip number 8.
And so I'm telling you right now, President Biden, not all America's with you on this one. And you need to wake up and understand that. We are literally watching people commit genocide and killing a vast majority just like this. And we still stand by and say nothing. We will remember this. But all of you, you need to know. I swear to God, Allah. You are on the right side of history.
Michelle, how do you respond to that? That is a United States Congresswoman.
Yeah. In a government building. And she was clearly explaining that she was in full support of Hamas and what Hamas is doing. Hamas is Gaza. Gaza is Hamas. It doesn't mean that every person who lives in Gaza agrees with the Hamas government, but essentially it is a dictatorship. It is the Islamic State of Gaza. And she's in complete agreement with what they're doing with these crocodile tears. What she was doing, Tony, was propaganda. She was helping Hamas advance propaganda in the U.S. Capitol. She should be ashamed. There should be censure of her. But the other thing is, she was asked very clearly by Fox News earlier what she felt about the babies that were killed and the individuals who were killed by Hamas. She wouldn't even dignify that question with a response. So she's very one-sided because she is pro-Hamas. She's been pro-Hamas since the day that she came into the United States Congress. And anyone, in my view, anyone who supports a terrorist organization themselves as a terrorist. They're a sympathizer aiding and abetting. She's aiding and abetting by advancing the propaganda of the Hamas network here in the United States government. She is inciting violence through her words. It's very dangerous. And the Republicans need to wake up and say something, but there needs to be a censure in the U.S. House.
Michelle, I mean, for years, there's been differences between the political parties, but there's some lines that, you know, haven't been crossed that we've come together. And one of those has been the longtime bipartisan support for our ally Israel. I want to ask you something, and you have great spiritual insight. What does this tell us about the spiritual state of America? Not just this one congresswoman, but the fact that she's been elevated to a position of influence, and she's not alone. There are others. Yeah. What does this say about the spiritual state of America?
Well, it's not a good signal, and it shows really the failure of cultural diversity. We were all told diversity is our strength. Diversity of religion is our strength. That isn't true. That is what the founders said. The founders believe very strongly in religious tolerance, but on the foundation of a Judeo-Christian heritage. That's been pushed out by these leftists, by people like Rashida Tlaib. And the goal of Hamas is to conquer. They want to conquer Israel. They want to conquer the globe with Islam. She's a part of that same view. They don't just want to have tolerance. They want to push out the Judeo-Christian view here in the United States. She's a part of that effort. She's a part of that effort in her home state, but also in the U.S. Capitol. It's really disturbing to watch this, because this is someone who is advancing a movement that uses violence to achieve its ends. It isn't debate. I've gone on many trips and tours to Israel where we had bipartisan support of the Jewish state, both Democrat and Republican. Not anymore. There's a real change that's happened in the United States Congress, and there's a real change that's happened throughout America. And that's where Christians need to wake up too and take stock of what's going on, because our young people, our Christian young people, are being targeted with this propaganda that's being put forward, that really Israel and Hamas, they're co-equal partners. Israel's just as much at fault as Hamas. This is an absolute lie. And so we're swimming in a sea of lies. And it's important that churches, that Christian schools and universities teach the truth of what the Bible says about Israel, and also the historic truth, the political truth, the legal truth about Israel's right to her land. And there is never any justification. It doesn't matter what it is. There's no justification for what Hamas has done and is doing even today to Israel.
Well, and that is going to be the focus of our prayer time and our conversation on Sunday night at 6 p.m. Eastern time. You're going to be there. General Jerry Boykin will be there as we have a special town hall event, Stand With and Pray for Israel. Michelle, I look forward to seeing you there.
I do, too. Thanks so much, Tony.
And folks, you can join us, too. Go to prayvotestand.org/townhall to find out how you can join us this coming Sunday night as we stand with and pray for Israel. Don't go away. We're back after this.
Christians must be aware of the issues that threaten the culture and the church. To this end, Family Research Council's David Clausen, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book titled Male and Female He Created Them, A Study on Gender, Sexuality, and Marriage. This book was written to help Christians understand what Scripture teaches and how to address them biblically. Included in the study are complimentary videos that expound upon the themes of each chapter. Order your copy of this book at hecreatedthem.org.
Are you tired of worn-out talking points, misleading media bias, and hopeless commentary? You need a new source you can trust. The Washington Stand, Family Research Council's online news platform, provides readers with free, reliable news and commentaries, all from a biblical perspective. Based in Washington, D.C., our reporters provide the facts on the biggest stories of the day, ranging from updates on critical Supreme Court cases to coverage on the latest public education stories to the newest developments in domestic and international religious liberty issues. The Washington Stand covers all of this and more. If you want to stay up to date and informed on what's going on in the U.S. and around the world that impacts faith, family, and freedom, then check out the Washington Stand. Just go to washingtonstand.com. Stay in the know, be encouraged, and stand firm in truth by visiting WashingtonStand.com today.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. All right, folks, I need your help. We need to know where to put our efforts and our focus in expanding Washington Watch. So it's very helpful if you'd let me know how you watch or listen to Washington Watch. So you can text the word poll to 67742, and I'll send you a list of the ways that you can tune in. And then if you'll just check that, send it back to us, we'll be able to focus in on the areas that people listen the most. Now, if you don't text, you can participate as well. I put a link to the poll in the resources section of TonyPerkins.com. So you can just go to TonyPerkins.com under resources for today's program. You'll see a link where you can take the poll. So text the word poll to 67742 or go to TonyPerkins.com. Well, as I mentioned at the top of the program, the U.S. House of Representatives, they've reached day 16 without a Speaker of the House, which means they're unable to advance legislation supporting Israel or passing budget appropriation bills. And we only have until November the 17th before the current funding mechanism runs out. Now, Republican nominee Congressman Jim Jordan failed to gain support in the second round of voting today. In fact, he lost a little ground today. Now, just before I came in the studio and talking to various ones on Capitol Hill, it sounds like we're facing round three tomorrow, where Congressman Jordan will press his case once again. Joining me now to discuss this is former Congressman Jody Heiss from Georgia. He now serves as a senior vice president here at the Family Research Council and president of FRC Action. Jody, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, always great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
And I forgot to mention, you're also the Friday host of Washington Watch.
And honored to do so.
Thank you. Let's talk a little bit about I want to take on some of the questions here. I mean, you know the dynamics. I know the dynamics. There's a lot of dynamics here that people don't see outside of Washington, D.C. And we can compare notes here. But from my conversation, I was on the Hill this morning meeting with some members. And I have to say the House Republicans are deeply divided. And it appears like the division is only growing deeper each day. That they fail to get a speaker.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you're right. It's a crazy time. It's a sad time. Quite frankly, it's a frightening time for our country as so many issues are happening globally as well as right here in our own country. And Congress seems to be at a standstill, stuck in the mud, trying to figure out who's going to be the speaker, which has to be done before they're even capable of addressing some of these other problems. So this has become a major, major issue. And frankly, Tony, it seems the longer we wait, the more volatile the entire world is becoming. It is almost as though the world is hanging by a thread while we're waiting on Congress to position themselves to be able to address some of these problems. So this is a critical time. It's a time I believe Christians need to be praying like never before that the Lord would intervene and right, that our representatives would get unified.
And that's one thing, frankly, that's been missing. I was supposed to be on the Hill at noon today with the Republican Study Committee doing a devotional for them, but that was canceled because of the vote for Speaker. But there's not many calls collectively. Now, there's a lot of prayer groups, Bible study groups individually, but there's not been a call to prayer. And I think that unity that is missing and is elusive, in part is because some of the tactics that are being used politically, it's kind of like, this is like the golden ring. We're trying to grab this ring, and it's creating a lot of division among Republicans on the Hill. And some of the tactics, outside groups putting a lot of pressure on what is an inside decision, doesn't seem to be sitting very well with some members.
You're exactly right. And what that is creating is an environment of distrust. And so I think now is the time for us, the body of Christ and organizations like FRC to call Christians to pray. Congress is really in a bad way right now. And you're right, there are members of Congress who are praying, and that's good. But it's difficult right now for them to call on a body of believers there in Congress to because of the environment that's been created. That's just really distrustful. Hopefully they will get over that, and hopefully they will still call on one another to pray and join in that regard. But whether they do or not, this is our hour. This is the time for the church to have her finest hour and for us to step up and to pray and to call on God's intervention in behalf of our Congress who right now are struggling.
Let me take on a couple of things that have been brought up, I think some by the legacy media and then some by trying to create fear, is that either you get a Republican speaker or you're going to have the Democratic speaker. I mean, you're not going to get a Democratic speaker in this House. For someone, for a Republican to vote for a Democrat, I mean, would that not be the end of their political career?
Oh, there's no question it would be. You know, I guess theoretically that could happen, but realistically, that's not going to happen. You know, some of the options out there, Jim Jordan, as you just mentioned, we're now going to have a third vote tomorrow. Perhaps option one, he can garnish the support and be able to pull this thing off. The more time goes by, the less likely that appears. Another option, McCarthy or Scalise come back. Again, I believe that's very unlikely. I think the most likely possibility is that a third party, a dark horse, someone who has not yet come forward, is going to come forward and will gain the support of everyone in Congress. And I anticipate that likely is going to happen if Jim Jordan loses yet again tomorrow. I believe there will be a lot of pressure for him to pull out. At that point, we'll see, I don't know, a Mike Johnson, a Kevin Hearn, someone else who can pull the party together, come forward, and probably gather a lot of support.
Well, and they're going to have to approach it with an understanding of the spiritual situation that the world is in, including right here in Washington, D.C. It's going to have to be someone who is spiritually in tune and has the eyes to see what is truly happening. Jody Heiss, out of time. You know what that means. It means we've got to stop. But it's always great to talk with you, and I look forward to seeing what you got to say on Friday.
Thanks, Tony. Great to see you.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.